Good morning. I'll come over here and be a bit more centered. It's always a great privilege to come together and gather on Sunday, and we come into a place where we can freely give and receive in worship and fellowship together. I'm very privileged today. I have my youngest sister with me. I have four, and I can't have favourites, but I have a very special relationship with my youngest sister, Carolyn, and her husband, Gavin, who are here to share this morning. So that's a lovely privilege for me. Our reading today, God has a plan for the people of the world, speaking about, and Jesus is speaking about faith, which reiterates that he had come down from heaven in order to bring life to the world. As Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And this is one of the core focuses of our Christian faith. So today, we, in memory of that, or to illustrate that, we have the one loaf of bread. We've actually got two because they've been consecrated, and it's rather complicated, as you can imagine, with priests and things. And later we're going to have some communion because the bread has been consecrated at the 9 o'clock service. But the bread is to remind us that we will break this to share in the body of Christ, and that we come together as many, but as the one body, as we share that one bread. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my Redeemer and my refuge. Amen. So, if God was to ask you right now, what do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you. How would you respond? What would be your answer? What is so important in your life right now today? Something that you want more than anything. What do you want to ask for and receive as a gift from God? Especially from God. Let us just pause and reflect how we would respond. Sunday morning, lotto ticket morning, our materialistic wants or needs, perhaps more money, perhaps a bigger home, perhaps a better car, perhaps more pay and hopefully for less work. Our here and now wants and needs, family, work, health, or our faith. What an incredible question if God was to ask each one of us this question today. Solomon had just become king after his father's death and had firmly established his kingdom. And God appeared to Solomon in a dream. God saying, what do you want? Ask and I will give it to you. So David, before his death, had charged Solomon to remain faithful to God. So Solomon begins to fulfill the promise made to his father. Solomon replies, God, you showed great and faithful love to David because he was honest and true and faithful to you. God, you have continued to show great faith and love to David by providing a son to sit on the throne. God, now you have made me king, but I feel like a little child. Solomon asks, give me an understanding heart to govern your people, and so I know the difference between right and wrong. So God was pleased with Solomon, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people, I will give you what you ask for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one else has had or ever will have. But wait, there's more. God says, and I will give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. And if you are faithful, I will give you a long life. Solomon had asked to give God to give him wisdom. And God graciously and generously gave what Solomon had asked for, the gift of wisdom, but much, much more as well. God faithfully responds to Solomon's faithfulness to God. In the reading, we see a loving relationship between God and Solomon based on faith. Solomon loved God with his faithfulness, and God loved Solomon for his faithfulness. Solomon was full of praise and thanksgiving to God, and God responds with his generosity in the context of a loving relationship with one of his children. However, as we know, Solomon, despite his reminders from God, did not continue his part of obedience and faithfulness to God, with Solomon fragrantly violating the covenant with God and his kingdom being divided after his death. Solomon is an example of us all, of God always wanting to be in faithful relationship with us, and God always wanting to be with us. God is a good God, and he wants the best for us. In Faith in My Relationship, we had a very learned and special preacher here by the name of Julia Coleman. And one day she was talking about prayer. She mentioned how she used to go around praying for car parks as she was looking around in the city. I thought, how ridiculous was that? How would you pray and ask God to help you for car parks? So anyway, in due time, I started trying this praying for car parks. I was amazed at the response I had. Everywhere I seemed to go, I seemed to find a car park just waiting. It was almost quite ridiculous. I even seemed to get this nudge to go left or to go right, and sure enough, that was the right place to find the car park. I sort of reflected on this and thought, well, what was God saying to me? It was more than car parks. He said, if you have faith in me for the little things in your life, why will you not have faith in me for the big things in your life? And I guess that's where my challenge for me continues today. However, our faith is not always that easy. I recently had a very challenging little task. I had been given the custody of two dear little dogs that had never been separated in their lives. I got a call about 6 o'clock to say that one of the dogs had got out the gate and had been missing for 2 hours. So it was the dog with the 2 hour head start. I briefly asked God to see if he could help find the dog and thought, well, that's absolutely hopeless. He's not going to be able to do much for me. So I raced up, driving aimlessly all around Karori as it got darker and darker. However, it was God who turned up, and he turned up in a funny place on social media, because someone from the church actually sent me a little text saying, I see your dog, I think it's yours, posted as having been found. So that was just a reminder to me of the importance of our faith and God's actions and promises. We see a very significant faith in our relationship with God through Jesus in our John reading. The Gospel of John is all about the person of Jesus, not so much about the account of Jesus' life. It's sort of a spiritual biography of Jesus. In John, Jesus is fully God, Jesus is fully man, and Jesus is our Saviour. John's Gospel emphasizes that Jesus is the Son of God. We can also see in John's Gospel the emphasis that Jesus' teaching and miracles were not so much for the crowd, but they were for the disciples to train them and to build their faith. So the context of the I am bread of life, when we put this passage in context, Jesus was talking to a Jewish crowd that had been following him. And this is months before the Last Supper. So the Jews would not have understood at that time what we now understand about this passage after Jesus' death and resurrection, which happened some months later. So we need to consider some of the earlier passages in the chapter from John. Jesus had just the day before provided the miracle of feeding of the 5,000 and was aware that the crowds were following him for the food. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. Jesus was aware that despite his miracles the previous day, the crowd did not believe him. Jesus said to the crowd, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. But the crowd had also been asking Jesus, well, what do we need to do to perform to go to heaven, to have eternal life? What must we do to please God? Because the Jewish crowd believed that they had to do good things. They had to be good. They had to tithe. They had to please God. But Jesus tells them, this is the only works God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. But there's much doubting Jesus and disagreement with Jesus among the crowd. How can he say, I am the bread that came down from heaven? Isn't this Jesus the son of Joseph? We know his father and mother. How can he say this? Jesus responds, stop complaining about what I said. It's written in the scriptures, and he quotes from Isaiah, that all will be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him will come to me. Jesus continues, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and this bread I offer so the world may live is my flesh. So God has a plan for the people of the world. God's gracious gift to the people is through the life of Jesus Christ. God's gift to the people of the world is eternal life. And each and every one of us will be free to choose and to accept God's gift. But we have to respond to God's offer. We have to accept the gift of God. We must believe. We must have faith. Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. Jesus is the focus. And so it's not any work or actions, as the Jewish crowd thought. It is the person of Jesus, the Son of Man. It is the works and actions of Jesus Christ. That is our Christian faith. Jesus tells us, believe in me. Believe in the messenger. I am the life. I am what you need. Then our reading continues. I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person up at the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Now, it's a rather gruesome piece of reading, but we can be sure that Jesus was not advocating cannibalism or a literal interpretation of his words. Jesus was talking to the Jewish crowd. They wanted Jesus to be king and save them from the Romans. So Jesus was challenging the Jewish crowd's thinking by surprising them and talking of drinking blood and eating flesh, which for them would be to disobey all the laws of the Old Testament. Jesus wanted them to understand simply, I am it. I am the bread of life. He was challenging their understanding of him. However, we read that the crowd became disencouraged and people began arguing with each other about what he meant. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They asked. And even the disciples, many on hearing it, said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And from this time, many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed Jesus. Jesus was not what many were wanting. They wanted a new king to save them from their immediate problems, the Romans, which were all the wrong reasons. They did not understand God's offer to the people of the world through Jesus. I am the bread of life. Believe and you have eternal life. When we do believe and accept Jesus as the bread of life, Jesus is offering in our lives now a continuing faithful relationship with God through him. This is not a one-off decision or a one-off religious act. It is the offer of a continuing relationship with God through continuing to accept Jesus Christ in our lives. We affirm this in participating in the communion regularly. Jesus says, "Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him." In our communion, by feeding on the bread as Christ's body and the wine as Christ's blood, we continue to believe and continue our faith in Jesus Christ. As God offers us this continuing faithful relationship with us in our faithfulness with him. Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you." In our communion, we come in praise and thanksgiving as the bread is broken. So Christ's body was broken on the cross. We say, Christ is the bread of life. As we drink the wine, Christ's blood was shed for our forgiveness. We proclaim and say, Christ is risen from the dead. We know that this is true, and that really matters. So in conclusion, as we reflect on our answer to God's question to Solomon and to each one of us, God says to you, what do you want? Ask and I will give it to you. How will you respond and answer that question? What will you ask God to give you? Will you ask for the bread of life come down from heaven? Will you ask for eternal life? Will you ask for a continuing relationship of faithfulness with God through Jesus Christ? Will you ask him to abide in us and us to abide in him? Or ask God to be our wisdom? God has a plan for the people of the world. God is a good God. And God wants the best for each one of us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, may you bless each one of us gathered here today in your name. We come with praise and thanksgiving for you and your offer of your gracious gift of eternal life to each one of us through belief in Jesus Christ. And as we take the bread and wine, may we remain in faithful and continuing relationship with you through Jesus Christ. May we abide in you and you abide in us. May you be our wisdom. Amen.